Hi-ho, hi-ho, on the air we go. Hello, hello, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. I first off want to say thank you so much for tuning in. I am going to be here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. So I just want to tell you a little bit about what the show is going to be. This is everything Disney related. So I'm going to be talking about Disney parks, Disney movies, Disney Channel shows. Oh my gosh, I have so much to say about this, but I will save that for another day. Okay. And so today's topic is going to be about Disney parks. I'm going to be talking about that today. And if you didn't know, there are actually 11 Disney parks around the world. And I actually didn't even know about this until recently, and I'm very shocked. So I'm going to be naming all 11 because you never know. You may be interested in visiting one of them. I've only been to two because, you know, money. So the first two I'm going to tell you are the ones in Anaheim. There are two in Anaheim, which are Disneyland, the original one that Walt Disney came up with himself, and also California Adventure. And these are the only two I've been to because money. And there are four in Orlando, Florida. They are Magic Kingdom, Epcot Center, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. That's a lot. That sounds like so much fun, going to all four at once. I mean, sign me up. Oh my goodness. And there are two in Tokyo, Japan. They are called Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. Yes, Disney Sea. It's not Disneyland because it's by the water. That sounds so amazing. And there is one in Paris, France, which is Disneyland Paris. I believe this was the first one that they had in Europe, and it originally was called Euro Disneyland. I think that was the name. And there is one in Hong Kong, China, which is Hong Kong Disneyland, and this is actually their smallest Disney park. And last, but certainly not the least, is their newest Disney park, which is Shanghai, China, which is in Shanghai, China, and it is called Shanghai Disneyland. And I'll be giving you more information about that one later into the show. And, you know, you may probably be wondering, how come I didn't say anything about Disney Aulani? Well, actually, that is a resort. It's not a Disney park. There aren't any real rides that are in the park. And yes, there may be a couple slides here and there, but no, it's just a resort with some Hawaiian feel to it, you know. And I'm going to jump right in to talk about Disneyland because this is the original. And I think it would be fitting to just talk about this for my first show because this was the first Disneyland ever created. So this, as I said, is the first of two theme parks built at Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. And it is the only theme park designed and built under direct supervision of Walt Disney. And their construction began on July 21st, 1954, and the park opened on July 17th, 1955. And Walt actually planned out five uniquely different lands. And I got all this information from justdisney.com, so if you are interested, make sure to check it out over there. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Main Street USA, I'm sorry. And this is the very first one found, the very first one that you see at the park. And I have a quote for each of these lands to give you a little something about what he was thinking, what his thought process was, because I really love all of these quotes, because you can really see how caring he was about this, how much heart and soul he put into this, and what he really wanted us to experience. And I definitely think that he accomplished that, even though he may not be here with us today. So he said about Main Street, "For those of us who remember the carefree time it recreates, Main Street will bring back happy memories. For younger visitors, it is an adventure in turning back the calendar to the days of grandfather's youth." So nice. So nice, Walt Disney. I appreciate you. And now Adventureland. The park was actually supposed to be an exotic tropical place in a far-off region of the world. And he said, "To create a land that would make this dream reality, we pictured ourselves far from civilization in the remote jungles of Asia and Africa." He hit that on the nail. When I went, and you know when you go on the jungle cruise, like, I totally feel as if I am in Asia or Africa. I totally feel as if I'm in the jungle. Fitting name. Totally fitting name. And for Frontierland, it was made to relive the pioneer days of the American frontier. And he said about this, "All of us have a cause to be proud of our country's history, shaped by the pioneering spirit of our forefathers. Our adventures are designed to give you the feeling of having lived, even for a short while, during our country's pioneer days." This is so well said, because it's literally that. I totally feel as if I lived back then, but I'm wearing 21st century clothes. So it's amazing how what he thought of became a reality. Dreams come true. Huh. And for Fantasyland, he said, "Created with the goal to make dreams come true." Walt Disney, you did that for yourself, and you're making my dreams come true, because I have a blast when I'm there. And he said, What youngster has not dreamed of flying with Peter Pan over moonlit London or tumbling into Alice's nonsensical wonderland? In Fantasyland, these classic stories of everyone's youth have become realities for youngsters of all ages to participate in. So true. When I was there when I was younger, I had a blast. When I went there for grad night, another blast. And for Tomorrowland, it was made to look at the marvels of the future. And he said about this, "Tomorrow can be a wonderful age. Our scientists today are opening the doors of the space age to achievements that will benefit our children and generations to come. The Tomorrowland attractions have been designed to give you an opportunity to participate in adventures that are a living blueprint of our future." And Walt actually had trouble working on Tomorrowland, but he did say, "Right when we do Tomorrowland, it will be outdated." Amazing. Wow. All positive adjectives go to that quote, because it's awesome. And the opening day for Disneyland was on July 17th, 1955, as I said earlier, and there were actually 6,000 invitations to the grand opening. They were sent, 6,000 of them. And by mid-afternoon on that opening day, over 28,000 ticket holders stormed the park. And you're probably wondering, how can there be 28,000 ticket holders when they only sent 6,000? Well, guess what? Most of them were counterfeit. They're all fake. I was like, really? If you try to do that now, you're probably going into Disneyland jail. And that's probably not fun at all. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit about California Adventure. So this was supposed to be a West Coast version of Disney World's Epcot, and it was going to be called Westcott. Whew. Can we just take a moment to think about that? California Adventure was going to be called Westcott. The first thing that came to my mind was, that sounds like Ascot, and that doesn't sound very fun. Like, oh yeah, dude, I'm gonna be going to Ascot. I don't even think that sounds child appropriate. So very, very nice how they changed it to California Adventure. It's in California, and it's definitely an adventure because I'm having a fun time. And as you can, if you've been there, you know that the park's theme is catered toward the park's home state of California. And actually, I didn't know about this until recently. The California Adventure marked the end of supposed Disney decade of a hit after hit. It was a total miss when it first was brought to us, because it failed to live up to Disney standards for theming and popularity. And this, really? When I read this, I was so confused, because it's cool. And it kind of hurts too, because for someone who's born and raised in California, it's a beautiful state. How is it bad for theming and popularity? I mean, maybe for popularity, yeah, but for theming, it's still nice. I still like it. And so the opening day was on February 8, 2001. So, I mean, yeah, maybe the opening day was different. I can't say so much about it because I was only maybe 4 years old when it opened. So, and the park officials planned for tens of thousands of people to arrive, but only a few hundred showed up. That's so sad. That is so sad. And especially comparing it to Disneyland, when they only expected a couple thousand and more than that showed up. You know, that really hurts. And the park even stopped open to Disneyland's annual pass holders for a few weeks before, and they gave them bad reviews and they spread them online. So that was totally bad for Disney. And they said that the park had thin theming, mediocre finishes, and generic rides. I'm still hurt by the thin theming thing. If you're from California, you're probably hurt too, because my heart hurts. I think it's nice, like, having to celebrate the state where Disneyland first started. Is that really that bad? Really? Come on. And so in June of 2012, they finished renovation for California Adventure, and it was themed to look like the Los Angeles that Walt Disney arrived in during the 1920s. And, you know, I'm not so big with change, and so when I first heard about this and I saw pictures, I was thinking, oh, that doesn't look as fun as it used to be with the big California letters up in the front. That was so eye-pleasing to me with all the pretty colors, especially at night when the letters would be lit up and it was a whole rainbow. But, you know, I do think it's nice how they did it. They changed the theme to how it looked in the 1920s, how Los Angeles looked during Walt Disney's time. And I'm not saying it's ugly at all. I do think it's a nice theme, but I do wish that they kept the original thing, mostly because I liked standing in front of the letters and comparing my height to the letters' height. So right now I'm going to go into a quick break. Hi-ho, on a little break we go. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. You never love yourself half as much as I love you. You never treat yourself right, darling, but I don't want you to. If I let you know. Just let these little things slip out of my mouth. 'Cause it's you, oh, it's you, it's you. They add up to, and I'm in love with you.
I won't let these little things slip out of my mouth. But if it's true, it's you, it's you. They add up to I'm in love with you. And all your little things.
I just wish we could all get along like we used to in middle school. I wish that I could bake a cake made out of rainbows and smiles, and we'd all eat and be happy.
She doesn't even go here!
You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Hey, Mama said the way you move gon' make you sweat, gon' make you groove.
Yoga, Zumba, weight training classes, and more. At Dominican University of California, the Conlon Center offers a wide range of amenities to benefit your everyday health and wellness.
Do you want that freshman 15? I don't think so.
So come on down to the Conlon Center. And while you're there, don't miss a second of the Penguin basketball games and volleyball matches that are held in the gymnasium.
And the Penguins win 78-76. The unthinkable has happened at the Conlon Center.
Not on a sports team, but want to play? No problem.
All DU students are encouraged to participate in rec sports. After a practice or a game, you can cool off by jumping into the pool. It's all at the Conlon Center.
Only at Dominican University of California.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Hello, hello. We are back from the break. So if you're just tuning in, a little recap. I talked about the Disney parks that are around the world. There are 11, if you didn't know. And I also talked a little bit about Disneyland, the one in Anaheim, and California Adventure, which is also in Anaheim. So remember, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and now I am going to be talking about Shanghai Disneyland. So yes, this is their most recent one. This actually came out only a couple months ago. It opened on June 16, 2016. Cool, cool beans. I was so excited when I saw a bunch of pictures and videos of this. It looked awesome. So Shanghai Disneyland is in Shanghai, China, and it is their biggest and most expensive international resort. So, wow. So if it's the biggest, you probably want to go. I'd want to go, but once again, money. And the Disney chief executive promised that it would be authentically Disney and distinctively Chinese. This is something that they stressed a lot because they really wanted to avoid cultural imperialism. So they made sure to stick to the quote, authentically Disney and distinctively Chinese. And when I first heard that, I was like, what does that mean? And I'm going to get into more about that. So the company hired Chinese architects and designers around China to make sure to incorporate Chinese cultural elements. And when I read that part, I thought, that is, as you should, that is so necessary. Definitely, we don't, you know, how would we feel if a Chinese company made their own park in America and they incorporated so much of their Chinese elements rather than some of our American roots? Like, that's not fair. That's not right. It's your company in our home, you know, incorporate some of the stuff that we like, the stuff that we know and love. And so they made sure to make sure that it was distinctively Disney and authentically Chinese. Authentically Disney and distinctively Chinese. Ooh, if I said that wrong the whole time, that would be bad. And, the Imagineering team stated that they were trying to become part of the culture instead of trying to interpret the culture, which I really love. I really love how they're just really trying to make sure that when these Chinese visitors come by, it's all familiar to them with a hint of Disney thrown in there. So we don't want to throw in a bunch of American stuff on them. That's not nice. And even the food was authentic. So they don't got corn dogs like we do in Disneyland. They have breakfast dumplings, prawn skewers, and Peking duck pizzas, just to name a few. Okay, if you've ever tried Peking duck, that is so good. Oh, you better try it ASAP. Peking duck is so good. And prawn skewers. Okay, I don't know if I'm a self-proclaimed foodie, but I do like to eat and I like to try different foods. So if I were to ever go to Shanghai Disneyland, I'm going to be eating a lot. I think that's what I'd spend most of my money on, is the food, because you won't be able to get it anywhere else. I'm not going to get a prawn skewer at Disneyland in California. That'd be weird. It wouldn't be the same. And the park is actually made up of 6 themed zones. So there's of course Fantasyland and Tomorrowland, but to make sure that they were authentically Disney and distinctively Chinese, they changed the Frontierland name to Westernland, just as in Tokyo, because, you know, it's Western. That's what it looks like. It looks like the West. We, in their eyes, we are the West. So it's Western culture brought to them. So I just wanted to make sure that, actually, never mind. Anyway, so they changed Frontierland to Westernland because they didn't want to have accusations of cultural imperialism. And the Main Street is not called Main Street USA, but it is called Mickey Avenue, because they're not in the U.S., they're in China. So that, as you should, it makes sense. And their enchanted storybook castle is the biggest Disney castle in the world. I really like the word biggest because it makes everything so much cooler when it's bigger. So I really like that, how it's the biggest. I definitely want to visit that. And they also even created new attractions so that the communist government, which has a stake in the park, felt it had something unique. And before I get into this, I just want to take a moment, just pause for a second for my heart, because it's breaking. It broke when I first read this, because it's unique to Shanghai Disneyland. So of course it's not going to be anywhere else. And, you know, using the money that I don't have to go to Shanghai Disneyland to go ride this ride, it's going to be tough. It's only there. And this is the Tron. If you've ever watched the movie Tron, you know how they have those lit up bicycles, those motorcycles. Yeah, that's a ride. And when I first watched the movie, I immediately wanted to ride one of those motorcycles right then and there as I'm sitting in the movie theaters. And now they brought it to life, but it is only found at Shanghai Disneyland. So if you wanted to go ride those lit up motorcycles just as much as I do, you'd have to go to Shanghai Disneyland, because it's only going to be found there. It is only unique in Shanghai. And that hurts, because it looked like so much fun. And I also have some tea to spill right now. So actually, what apparently happened was that within the first few days of the park opening, the visitors trashed the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think about it, why would they do that? It's Disneyland. That's so rude. You're in this public space. Why would you keep it clean? Why wouldn't you keep it clean? And so what different articles stated was that the guests were described as rowdy. They would cut lines, they left trails of garbage, and they vandalized park property. Now, I'm really trying to put myself in their shoes, and, you know, since I've been to a Disneyland before, I know what their protocols are. You pick up after you pick up after yourself if you drop something, you know, you throw things in the trash. You're respectful of their property, and you should treat Disneyland like your home, because they make it feel as if you're home anyway. You know, everywhere you walk, you feel like you belong, and there's so many things to explore and enjoy. Why would you not be respectful of that space? And since it is so new to them, this is the first in China, you know, maybe they didn't know they should be doing that, but I still don't get it. Why would you not keep it clean? And there was actually photos of food wrappers, plastic bags, paper cups, and other trash littered around the park grounds. Oh my gosh. And for someone who always makes sure to recycle, you know, this is, it's just, it's my little part to do for the world. to take my plastic water bottle and put it in the recycling bin, to take my paper that I'm no longer using and put it in the recycle bin. If I'm eating a granola bar and I have the wrapper, you know, if there's no trash nearby, put it in my backpack because I'm not going to litter. That's so rude. Someone's going to have to pick it up and it may as well be me because I don't want to put that burden on anyone else. And there was even, I saw this photo. This was insane. So there is this one photo and it showed a mom letting their child poop. Yes, they let the child poop in an open area of the park rather than taking the child to a restroom. Why would you do this? Oh my gosh. And when I saw that picture, you could, and if you just look it up or if you see it, it's literally the bare booty. It's there. Everything. And I think the dad was even in that photo too, helping him out. But seriously, you can see the little boy. I don't want to get so much detail, but he was squatting. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, it was the mom, the dad, and the little boy, and he was going to town. And that was, ugh. Why would you do that? Oh, gosh. But actually, in a little bit, I'll tell you why they may have done that. And you're also probably wondering at this point, how come any officials or administration didn't do anything about it? Well, actually, the local city government even issued an etiquette guide because of the behavior of this tourist. And that's so necessary. Seriously, they need it because why would you trash Disneyland of all places? It is the happiest place in the world. And there was actually even a trial period, and this happened in May of 2016, so a month before the park officially opened. And the trial period visitors complained of high food prices and the park being too crowded. Now, I totally agree. Yeah, their food prices are so high and the park is very crowded. But for me, that's normal. You kind of just have to accept it because eventually you will be able to experience everything that the park has to offer. And the food prices, you know, I don't know if I can argue that one. I kind of agree. It's really expensive. But, you know, it's a trademark having the Mickey ears on everything. It's cute. So I guess the price is worth it. It's just, you know, a lot of money. And so now getting back to the potty incident with the pooping, Shanghai Disneyland has a visitor to washroom ratio of 4,500 to 1. Let's just pause for a sec. 4,500 to 1. Seriously. Even just waiting for the restroom at school can take a really long time. 4,500. And how many stalls do you think they have? Maybe like 5? I hope they have at least 10. That is insane. So now that you know this, you probably understand why the mom would do that. She's not going to wait in line. And this little boy probably had to go really bad. So you do what you could. If you got to go, you got to go. So, definitely understandable. So, now I'm going to go on a little break. After the break, I'm going to be talking about Disneyland and California Adventure rides. So, stay tuned to that. And remember, you're listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy, because I keep it cool, on radio.dominican.edu.
You are good tired to see me face. Can't get me out of the race. Oh man, you said I'm in your place. And then you drive.
Hi ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, I recently talked about Shanghai Disneyland, the newest Disney park in Shanghai. And remember, you're listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Now I'm going to be talking about Disneyland rides and also California Adventure rides. So I'm only talking about these two because these are the only two I've been to. So I can't speak so much about other parks because I haven't experienced it. So the other day I was looking at this ranked list of best Disneyland rides. And this was from Thrillist.com. And I put this in the order that they put it in, but I don't agree with all of them. I would definitely rearrange it, especially number one. I really don't agree with their number one, and I'll get to that. I'm going to be naming all 31 rides. These are all the rides that move, anything that moves at Disneyland. So I'm going to be starting with number 31. It is the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. Now, I do think that this should have been later in the list. I've never been on the ride, but I've heard bad reviews about it. And I've only heard reviews from people who are older, as in my age. You know, like mid-20s-ish, little teens. And they say it's boring because you wait in such a long line and you're in the submarine. And all you look at is like animated versions of the Finding Nemo characters. And that's, you know, if you're going to wait in such a long line, you want it to be worth it. And a lot of people said that it wasn't worth it at all. Maybe for a kid, it could have been worth it, seeing Dory and Nemo swim around as you're in a submarine. But I think you could be doing something better with your time than sitting in a submarine. You don't really move. And number 30 is Casey Jr. Circus Train. I don't think I've ever been on this one. I don't know if I've ever even heard of it until I saw this list. But I think that's one of the more younger rides for younger people. Number 29 is the Storybook Land Canal Boats. I think I went on this once when I was really young. And I think only parents and then their children go on this. But that the whale that they go in through, that part looks really cool. That looks fun. 28 is Autopia. Now, I don't know if I'd put it at number 28 and put it so far at the end of the list because I think it's a good ride. I think it's definitely a good ride for kids. I remember when I went, it was awesome because it feels like you're actually driving. But then as you go when you're older and you start to experience what driving really is like, it's not as exciting because you start to realize that you keep bumping into that center bar that keeps you on the tracks. That part, you're just going to keep bumping into that. And then the worst part is when the person behind you keeps bumping into you. That is the worst part. I hate that. Oh my gosh. You better hope that it's not like a super little kid behind you because it's going to be like bumper cars. And the whole point of it is just to practice driving, but you don't want it to be bumper cars. You didn't go on that ride to be hit multiple times. That's not fun. And you wait in this long line to be hit. And then at the end, you get this. It feels as if you'd be getting kind of that ribbon where it says that you tried, that whole you tried award thing. Yeah, that's no fun. But if you did have a good time on the ride, getting that fake driver's license was pretty cool. And next on this list, number 27, is King Arthur Carousel. If you're really tired, but you want to go on a ride, I'd say go on this. It's a carousel. You just sit on a horse. Yeah, I don't have much to say about it. And 26 is the Mark Twain Riverboat. I think this is a fitting end for it. I do agree with the person with this ranking because it's a cool boat. You know, there are two levels you can walk on. You can go on, I mean. And it's nice because you kind of just relax. You're on a boat. Exciting on a boat. And you get to see Disneyland in a new perspective. So I think that's really cool. If you want to see Frontierland from a different view, I would suggest going on this ride. Okay, 25 is It's a Small World. I would not put this. Oh, I think I said Mark Twain Riverboat was 25. It's 26. My mistake. So 25 is It's a Small World. And I would not put it as 25 because I think it serves more than just the purpose of providing entertainment. The reason is when you go during the summer, as most people do, it is so hot. You're literally sweating. If you put on makeup, if you do your eyebrows, they're going to be off by the end of the day. It's too hot. And It's a Small World will help that situation, because when you're on that ride, you're entertained, and two, it's air conditioned, so you ain't got to do anything. You sit in the boat. You just like, it's a small world after all. Yeah, so you're in there. You get to chill. You can even fall asleep. It don't matter, and you're just moving along in a smooth sailing boat, and you feel the breeze of the air conditioned room. Oh, great ride. I would put that, you know, maybe top 20, it's not top 20, but I would definitely put it higher up in the list because it serves more than just one purpose. And tied for 23 on this list was the Disneyland Railroad and Monorail. And the reason that they tied it for 23 are because these are the only two rides that actually take you around the park. That's what their purpose is, to help you go around. You know, the train where you get a view of like the different lands, and you get to see everything while you get a chill as it goes. So yeah, I would keep it at 23. You know, it does serve a very great purpose, both of them. 22 is Astro Orbiter. Now, I don't really know if I've been on Astro Orbiter before, but yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll keep it at 22. I guess I'll agree. 21 is Dumbo, the Flying Elephant. Yeah, that's a pretty cool ride. It's very iconic. I see a lot of photos of people going on that ride. Dumbo's fun. Dumbo's a cute character. I'm not mad. And 20 is Snow White's Scary Adventures. Ooh, I don't think I've ever been on this ride for the sole reason that it had the word scary in it. Any synonym to the word scary, I'm not down. I'm not going. You can force me. You can pay me. I will not go. Because it has the word scary in it. And if it has the word scary, they're going to get what they're putting out. I'm going to be scared. I will be scared of everything. And Snow White, the old witch, the lady, I don't like her. So I don't know if I'll ever go on the ride. Maybe in a couple of years when I'm more in tune with myself and I remind myself that it's just a ride, maybe I'll go. But as of right now, the word scary is scaring me. Okay, so number 19 is Peter Pan's Flight. Now, I don't know if I've been on this one, mostly because usually when I go to Disneyland, and I don't go that often, but the times that I do, it is such a long line. I don't have the patience for that. It is hot. I'm only here for a certain amount of time. I paid a lot of money. I'm going to go to other rides. I'm not going to wait so long. Okay. And number 18 is Pinocchio's Daring Journey. I haven't been on this one, so I can't tell you anything or my opinion about it. 17 is Davy Crockett's Explore Canoes. I wouldn't put this at number 17. I'd probably put it later in the list, maybe switch it with Autopia, because this is the one where you put in labor. It's a labor ride. You don't get a chill. You don't get to sit there and it moves you. You move it. I don't want to do that. I came here for a fun time. I don't want to be like losing all of my energy, sweating more than I needed to. And I'm paying for that, because you pay for the whole park. So I'm paying to sweat. I don't want to do that. So I'm not going on Davy Crockett's Explore Canoe. But if you're adventurous and you like to move, then you know what? Maybe go on this. But I wouldn't put it so early in my list. Okay, number 16 is The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Now, I've heard some weird stuff about this ride, because apparently it's actually really scary and there isn't even much Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. Apparently it's frightening. I don't know. I haven't been on it, but the stuff I've heard, it's not what you'd expect it to be. 15 is Gadget's Go Coaster. I don't think I've been on that one either. I honestly am only really at Disneyland for a certain amount of time, and it's either on like three rides the day on that day, and then the rest is spent in the lines or eating. That's about it. So I got to make sure I make a proper itinerary and go on the rides that I want to go on the most. Go on the most popular rides, definitely. Number 14 is Jungle Cruise. I really like this ride. As I talked about earlier, if you were listening, it really makes you feel as if you were in the jungle in either Asia or Africa. And it's so cool because you see the elephants. And every time I go on this ride, I always wonder if they're real. But I'm always reminded that they're not. And it honestly hurts because they look pretty real. Especially when, like, the elephants shoot water out of their trunks. That's so cute. How is that? How can that not be real? It looks so real. And then the little hippos. Oh, it's so cute. Yeah, and it's definitely a family-friendly ride. So they can fit in quite a lot of people. So, you know, it's not like where the rides where it's they say you can only two people in this row or only three people, blah, blah, blah. It's very family-friendly. Everyone can go on. And number 13 is the Matterhorn. Now, I don't know if I would put this as number 13 so high up in this list, because the times that I've gone to Disneyland, the Matterhorn was closed. Why? Why was it always closed every time I went? And I know that I believe it was earlier in this year they opened it. Why couldn't it have been opened when I was there? It's so sad. And I heard it's such a great ride, and I think I went on it once, but I was so young, so I couldn't experience it. I don't experience rides the same as I did when I was younger, so it sucks. Number 12 is Alice in Wonderland. I don't think I've went on this one. Yeah, I can't say much about that one. But number 11 is the Mad Tea Party. That's the one with the teacups. That one's a fun ride, but I don't eat before. Don't eat before it, okay? That's all I gotta say about it. Next is number 10 is Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. I don't really go on this one that much. Yeah, I can't say so much about that one. Number 9 is Pirates of the Caribbean. I feel like I would put this one earlier. I would put Pirates of the Caribbean much earlier, mostly because it's the allotted time for you to wait is totally worth it. Yes, it may be long, but it's worth your while because it's so fun. Because it almost like it's a small world, you're in a boat and you move, but they have like little dips and there's more stuff to look around. I think it's really cool. I'd go on this all the time. So if you're ever planning on going to Disneyland, definitely hit up Pirates of the Caribbean. Number 8 is Indiana Jones Adventure. And I have such a funny story about this one. I think I went in 2005. I was pretty young back then. And I went with my dad and my sister. And you know how I am about the word scary. I don't like it. And this, once you enter, it was terrifying for me. I hated it. Oh my gosh, I was so scared. And once we got on the actual ride, my eyes never opened. They never opened the whole ride. And I was screaming, not through enjoyment, but through fear. I was so scared. And I made sure that I sat in the middle because I didn't want anything popping around on me on the sides. And I remember my sister was so mad at me because since I took the middle because a snake jumped at her face and she hated it. So yeah, not good. But when I went for grad night, after I graduated from high school, it was definitely way more fun. And you know, when you open your eyes, there's so many cool things that you see. So yeah, definitely going another time when I was older was totally worth it. Number 7 is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. This is a really good ride. It's usually, the line's never really that long. So if you do like the typical roller coaster, you should definitely go on this ride. Number 6 is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I wouldn't put this so high up because I don't really go on it. And I don't think I've ever even been on it, actually. Number 5 is Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. This just definitely deserves to be high up on the list because it's so much fun. I love it so much. And it's so fun because you get to compete with the person next to you. So, you know, a little competition doesn't hurt. Number 4, Splash Mountain. this is a really fun ride. And seeing all the photos of everyone doing little fun stuff like proposals or dressing up in funny costumes, yeah, it makes you want to do it yourself. And it's easier to tell where the camera is, so you can always make a funny face. Number three is Space Mountain, now known as Hyperspace Mountain. So when I went, it was only Space Mountain, and that was a blast. And I haven't gone when it became Hyperspace Mountain. So Space Mountain itself was great. And Hyperspace? Oh, yes. I love it. I will definitely go again. Space Mountain, I would put that first. I would definitely put Space Mountain first because it is just so much fun. Number two is the Haunted Mansion. I wouldn't put this so high up because it has the word haunted. No, I think I've only been on it once. And, you know, if scary wasn't bad enough, haunted, that's worse. I'm not, no. If it's haunted, that's going to get into my head and I can't deal. But I've been on it once and it was a good ride. Yeah. If you like scary stuff, definitely go. And number one on this list is Star Tours. Now, I really wouldn't put this number one because, for one, for the number one reason being, I'm not that big of a fan of Star Wars. Yes, I'm not really into Star Wars. I'm that person. I didn't grow up with it. I've only seen the last movie in its entirety. The other six movies, I've only seen a couple scenes of it. So I don't know so much about it. And for someone who doesn't really watch Star Wars, you know, it makes sense how I wouldn't put it number one. So right now, I'm going to take a little break. Right after, I'm going to be talking about the California Adventure rides, and I will also be talking about the Diamond Celebration that was held at Disneyland. So remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy on radio.dominican.edu. Back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, I recently talked about the Disneyland rides, and I ranked all 31 of them, the one in Anaheim, if you've ever been to it. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ Breezy. So now I'm going to be talking about the California Adventure rides, and these are my top 10. So I'm going to start from 10, and I put Soarin' Around the World as my 10th because, honestly, I think it's really overrated. It's, as a kid, it's a lot of fun to ride it because, you know, you get lifted up and you get to see, you get to experience the world. But after a while, if you look away from the screen, it ruins it. Yeah, and I've done that too many times, so I ruined it for myself, I guess you could say. Number 9, I put Grizzly River Run. I put this as number 9 because it's a fun ride, but I also don't like having to walk around the park in wet jeans. That's not fun. So that's why I put it last, because I don't want to be wet the whole time. It feels wet jeans. If you wear wet jeans, it's honestly the most uncomfortable feeling. Don't Bring extra clothes if you're ever gonna go on that ride. Number 8 is Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters, and number 7 I put Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. And I put those 7 and 8 because I haven't been on the been on those rides yet, because when I went I was on a time crunch, and so and though the Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters were it wasn't even open yet. So I did even put these on my list because mostly because it is Cars themed. I love the movie Cars, and they looked like a lot of fun, and I've heard such great reviews about it. So I had to put them on the list because it looked like a lot of fun. And number 6, I put Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue. This was a lot of fun. I love the movie Monsters, Inc., so having it themed this way was very cute. Number 5, I put Mickey's Fun Wheel. I put this as number 5 because Ferris wheels are fun. They are so fun. And especially for this one, it has the ones that tilt back and forth. That is amazing. I love a good thrill. On a roller coaster, not like Scary Movie type of thrill. But going on the Mickey's Fun Wheel, if you go on the tilting ones, whoa, it's so scarily exciting. I like that type of thrill where it's kind of like my heart's racing, but I get to experience it with no scary characters. So it's very fun. If you ever go on the Fun Wheel, take the tilting ones because it makes the experience way cooler. Number 4, I put Tower of Terror because it's, oh my gosh, it's so fun. And it when you go up the, what is it? Go up the elevator and they open it up and you get to see like the landscape of California Adventures. And then you drop, oh my gosh, your butt literally lifts from your seat. It's so scary, but it's a lot of fun. And you're probably wondering, oh, so you couldn't go on Snow White's Scary Adventures and Haunted Mansion, but you could go on this. Okay, hold up. Hold on. So I didn't go when I was younger, but when I went for grad night, I went on that ride because my friends wanted to go. So I was like, you know what? I'm here with y'all. I might as well come and join because I don't want to be sitting around waiting for everybody. And once you get past like the whole like the Twilight Zone part, it gets a lot of fun. It once you're on the ride, it's a really good experience. It's super cool. High key, high definitely recommend. And number 3, I put Radiator Springs Racers again because I really, really love the movie Cars. And this was so fun because it makes you feel like you're in Radiator Springs. And it's so fun seeing all the characters. You know, you feel like you're there. It's super fun. And I went on the single riders because my friends and I were not going to wait in that super long line. And the single riders line is so much shorter. So if you're on a time crunch like I was, do single riders. It doesn't really matter that you sit next to your family or friends, because at the end, you're going to meet them after the ride. It's just, you know, you can get past sitting next to a stranger. It's totally fine because you still get to experience what the ride has to offer. So it's totally chill. Number 2, I put Toy Story Midway Mania. I love the movie Toy Story. I love all 3. Whoa. And I put this as number 2 because, for one, it's Toy Story themed. And also, it's super fun having to shoot little darts and competing with people. A little good competition is always fun. And number 1, if you didn't already guess it, is California Screamin'. I love this ride. I love it when they go, 3, 2, 1, scream! I don't really scream, but I get really excited. So this is my favorite ride. I love this ride so much. If you haven't been on it yet, you're honestly missing out. This is so fun. It goes upside down. It's a typical roller coaster, but it's cool because you get to see Paradise Pier from the roller coaster perspective. I love it so much. Okay, now I'm going to briefly talk about the Diamond Celebration. Now, this Diamond Celebration is to celebrate 60 years of Disneyland. And I was fortunate enough to go to Disneyland during the Diamond Celebration because I graduated when the park opened at the time. So I graduated in June, and this opened on May 22nd, 2015. So I was there when it first began. It was so exciting. And it actually ended earlier this month on September 5th, 2016. And this is because their annual celebrations usually last only about 12 to 15 months. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what they had. So they had a lot of like daily prizes and sweepstakes, and some people could have won the stay in this Disneyland Dream Suite that was right above the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. That is so cool. The ride itself was so amazing, and the fact that there is like an apartment there that you could have stayed in for free. Sign me up. I mean, I did sign up for this, but I didn't win. I wish I did. Okay, and there's also a Disneyland Forever. This is different than their usual fireworks show because I didn't get to see this when I went for grad night because I was literally all over the place trying to take in everything in a short amount of time. And yeah, it was different. And the food, they brought in a lot of new food, like a diamond anniversary cupcake and the enchanted cherry apple frozen lemonade and the frozen pomegranate silver sparkler. Anything with the word sparkle gets my attention. I love it. And they also had limited edition merch like art, pins, accessories, and some apparel commemorating the park's past and future. And if you've seen a lot of pictures about the Diamond Celebration, you've seen the typical Disney ears, the black with the blue bow. Yeah, I got that one too. I'm pretty basic, but it's cute because it's limited edition and I got it. They also had a new Paint the Night Parade, which had 1.5 million LED lights. So it was way cooler than the usual Main Street electrical parade. And they also had the World of Color got even better because it was hosted by Neil Patrick Harris and Mickey Mouse, and it follows the journey of Walt Disney's creations. And they also had a lot of diamond decor, so the Sleeping Beauty's castle glistened with dazzling diamonds and it was everywhere. It was so pretty. Oh my gosh, if you missed it, I'm so sorry. It was beautiful. And the entire resort underwent a diamond makeover. And Mickey Mouse, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and their friends wore sparkling red and blue ensembles. Ah, I want to be dressed down in diamonds too. And so that concludes the 8th drawer for today. I am here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, this is DJ Breezy on radio.dominican.edu. I'll see y'all real soon. That's what Mickey Mouse says. Bye. A fortune. I'm a Texaco star. I'm a Gibson guitar. Still a teenage kid trying to go too far. I'm a jukebox waiting in a neon bar.